You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And joining us now is Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. What's going on with the price of beef? I don't know about you guys, but I witnessed it big time. We usually cook a whole filet for Christmas. Typically five and a half pounds, typically around $100. It was $200 this year, $198.25 to be exact. And when I saw the tag, almost fell in the grocery. Got it nonetheless. Old habits die hard, traditions die hard, and we move forward. Doc, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Neil. Good morning. Happy New Year to you. I hope you and your family are doing well.
We chopped down on that filet, as expensive as it was, but we're doing okay.
Yeah, so there are a lot of things going on. You know, in some of the reports this morning, you know, average across the board beef price is now over $7.85, up 24% from a year ago. There's a very good article in the Wall Street Journal on about the 27th of December. And it said we can also further expect an additional 5% inflationary cost of food prices in the next 6 months. We've seen market inflationary cost of food, and there are a host of things going on. And when you look at beef, one of the things that's happened is actually production by the farmer has went down more than 3% in the last year, whereas demand, domestic demand and worldwide demand is increasing. And so, you know, we're at the nexus now. And the problem is the farmer has not been getting, you know, a large enough share, you know, of the dollars. If you look back, you know, 50 years ago, the farmer got about 60% of the total dollar for beef consumption. Today, it's 39 cents. Pig farmers would get 40 to 60 cents of the dollar. Now they get 19 cents. And there's a lot of discussion about what is going on, what is causing that. And additionally, looking at, you know, why the farmer is having trouble, the rancher and the farmer is having trouble making ends meet when you're seeing record prices in the store. And so a number of factors are going on. One, the farmer's share has went down continuously. And we also see that in the major meatpacking industry, which is now consolidated tremendously, their profits are up 120% just during the pandemic. So as they used to make just a few percent, now they're making up to 19%, you know, of, you know, that total dollar. And so there are a number of things that we are looking at. One, back on the 27th of May, I sent a letter to the United States Attorney General asking the department to look into what is going on in the meatpacking industry. I received a letter back from them, actually, and that was 2 days ago on January the 4th. And you also see there's a lot of activity now with the USDA and the White House looking at a whole host of things. And overall, the majority, the vast majority of the food that is processed is done by the Big Four. And the Big Four is Tyson's, JBS, Cargill, and National Beef. They process 85% of the beef, 54% of the poultry, and 70%. You know, overall of about the pork that is produced in the United States. The top 50 plants produce almost all of it. What happened many years ago, we had a lot of smaller plants. We don't have that anymore. Everything's gotten larger. Everything's gotten consolidated. And a number of years ago, the Justice Department went into the big processors and said, listen, y'all going to have to diversify. You can't own the feedlots. You can't own, you know, the pastures. You can't, you know, have, you know, the process, and you can't control the market, and sort of broke that up. But also, when you look at what else has happened, JBS and National Beef, two of the Big Four, are not American owned. And if you look at in the pork industry, for instance, Smithfield Foods, that's Chinese owned. And, you know, so if you look at JBS and National Beef, those are Brazilian owned. And I believe that, you know, there's also some Chinese influence there. But what I'm saying is that we have got to look into diversification. Also, the Justice Department is going to look to make sure that there are not non-competitive practices, what we would call price fixing, going on, and see if there are any violations there. And there are cases going on in the poultry industry. But a number of things have to happen. One, and it's all got to happen at the same time, because we didn't get here overnight, and there's a number of factors driving this. One, we must have to make sure that the market is fair and it's not price fixing. Two, we got to make sure there's competition. And the administration in Washington, President Biden working with Secretary Vilsack, the USDA, they are going to help fund by grants, by loans, by loan guarantees to banks to expand the smaller meat processors. So have more smaller meat processors and try to, you know, work in the situation to where they can pay for additional inspections, et cetera, to where you have more private individuals, and especially local. So if you want to go buy a certified Louisiana steak, it's difficult because we have very few Louisiana, inspected slaughterhouses, and that also inspected processing. We need to get back to that. We need to diversify versus consolidate, because where we're at now with consolidation and with the inflationary factors, also we've got to get a handle on fundamental inflation. So the farmer's not getting the money when he's selling the product, but he's also now having to spend more to produce the product. Energy prices or high fertilizer price has went skyrocketed. I mean, we're paying, and for a farm, when you talk about $1,200 a ton for fertilizer, that's a massive amount. It's 2 to 3 times what we were paying a year ago, and that is going to be reflected in next year's prices. So it has a host of things, but the cost of doing business, the cost of fuel, cost of fertilizer, cost of inputs, and then in the end, what happens if the farmer's not making money? Well, guess what? They're going to do something else. And then we're seeing now a decrease in the availability of the domestically produced product. And then so what happens at the end of the day? You're seeing very high prices in the grocery store.
Well, typical as things are, they're not always as easy as people try to make them to be. And so I don't believe in coincidences, and I don't think you do either. We got here for a reason, and I would very much suspect that it's all about cost consideration, whether it's the cost of labor, union influence, cost of insurances, whether or not we are over. There's too much regulations that are being imposed that are not right-sized, that are not all meaningful, and they're trying to gain the economies of scale, and that's why we end up with these four large producers. Would I be incorrect in that assumption?
You're very correct. What happened is that, years ago, as the value was increasing going through the feedlot system, the farmers, selected to go ahead and sell them that way. Also, you had all your mom-and-pop slaughterhouses, your local butchers, your local slaughterhouses. And as the young people, when mom and pop said, look, now it's time for you to take over the business, they said, oh, no, we're not doing that, because it's very hard work. We lost a lot of our local markets. Now that the farmer is not receiving the dollar share they should, now they're looking at moving back into local slaughtering. So it was driven to a degree by price, but also by labor. And then when you talk about regulation, when you have these large processing, you've got to have very, very stringent inspection, especially for health and safety, because if you get contamination, then it can be spread out over a great deal of product versus when you have smaller facilities and you operate, quote, in silos, as we say. So there have been a whole host of factors. Labor is an issue because it is hard work. Capital is an issue. A small a slaughter and processing facility that would be state and or federally inspected, you're looking at a minimum probably $5 million to $15 million to start up. But also, another factor is that the economies of having the cattle fed out in a dry, more arid climate than in our climate, the economies of grain per pound are more beneficial in Oklahoma and West Texas. And then you have those environmental issues, because here everything that hits the ground ends up potentially in a ditch or a stream. And so what we're trying to do is reestablish, and we've got a number of factors going on. A lot of our poultry, we have a huge poultry industry and broilers and eggs, and we utilize a great deal of our locally produced corn. Now we're trying to work to where we can have crushing facilities that will not make not only biofuels, but also that we will have a soybean meal that we can then further integrate into our own feeds. And if we can do that, then we can have feedlots in certain areas of the state. If you got feedlots, then you can have larger slaughter facilities because you've got to have enough cattle coming in every day to keep the, you know, the labor force there and to pay that. So we have to rebuild that when we're trying to. And we hope that with our soybean crushing facilities that are coming online, we'll have a soybean meal to mix with our corn so that we can have a feedlot for our cattle. And we raise about 425,000 head a year. But if you get in some of these huge facilities in the Midwest, they process 10 to 15,000 head per day. It is a massive thing. But we have to rebuild that whole supply chain, A, B, C, D, and then also work on your smaller, locally inspected, the way you can sell retail so that you can go down and say, look, I want to buy these steaks. I know they were raised right, you know, here in Tangipahoa or Jefferson or St. Tammany or wherever that local meat. So we have to do things on multiple levels. And the other thing you have to consider, it is now very, very costly to get into the cattle business because you got to have tractors. You have to have hay balers, hay cutters. You have to have trailers. So that it is commercially, it is intensive, but we have to work to try to facilitate that. And if not, then what you're seeing here could continue.
Is it safe to say that the action that was taken by the Biden administration the other day is just really morally symbolic than anything else? Because I hadn't read an article yet that really said embraces the position that this is going to make a significant difference in the short term, midterm, or long term.
Well, I think when the Justice Department takes a look and they act independently, they're going to take a look to make sure that there is not collusion and price fixing. They've done that before, and they've come out, and there was changes to the Packers and Stockyard Act. And that the Packers and Stockyard is basically the roadmap that all of these processors and all have to follow. And if they find there are specific issues that are non-competitive, either under the Sherman Antitrust Act or the other antitrust acts, they will force them to diversify or to change. And so that happened before, because what happened before is that the big processors own the feedlots, and then if the price of cattle got low, they would buy it from America. If the price of cattle got too high, they would pull from their own inventory or bring it in from Mexico. The other thing is that is very important is that it's the made in the USA label. That USA label means a lot. We had country of origin labeling, and we lost that because it violated some of our treaties years ago. And basically it says if you can have that made in the USA label, then it is going to have to be grown here, not just processed here. And right. So I think that is important, too, so that consumers will have a choice. But the other part is that, you know, as we address this, and I think a big part of what we've got to try to really work on is to have more local processing, more local feedlots. But again, when we start talking about a local feedlot, You know, there people will object to that. You know, the environmentalists will object to that, and because again, you know, we have feedlots. You have cow manure out there, and mm-hmm. people may find that objectionable. But that's part of what you have to do. You know, if you farm, you have to farm, and we have to rebuild that. And we have tried to work with local slaughterhouses, but our biggest issue there, you know, more than capital, it's labor. It's the labor to do this work because it is very labor intensive.
We're talking to Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Mike, real quick, industry analysts are saying that the net profit margin in the beef industry, they agree that processor costs are going up, but their net profit margin is up 300% at the end of last quarter relative to a year ago. Now, when you get that kind of increase in net profit, something's not right.
Right. And right? The articles that I've read, you know, prior, not looking at just last quarter, we know it's up over 120%. It may be up over 300%, but you're exactly right. and that net profit. And if you look back to where it was 10 years ago, but again, you have consolidation, right?
Yeah.
And there's no price. There are no price controls. So how do you fix that? You got to have more competition. That's the bottom line. We have to facilitate more competition. And if there is a monopoly, or the technical world is oligopoly, whether you only have a few, then that's got to be broken up. And that's the one of the things that we can do, is to try to break that up, or to have additional players, so that you will have a, you know, more competition in actually buying. That's where you got to see when it comes out of the feedlot, how many people are there buying those animals, and is there fair competition there?
Yeah. So this is not something that has just cropped up recently. This has been, you know, brewing for a while, and reveals itself more likely than not because of the pandemic, because of a lot of money in the system, a lot of demand going up, and the supply's not there, and it's really uncovered the or revealed the underbelly of the industry.
We've been through this before a number of years ago, and where they forced them to, you know, basically you couldn't own the feedlots and own the processing company, right, et cetera. But what has happened here is that, one, you know, with bottom line basic inflation that hitting a high level, supply chain issues as well, all of this coming together. And now, because of lack of profitability, a decrease in domestic production, you're seeing this roll forward. So a number of factors, and you're seeing this. But also, if you, you know, have you priced a new or a used vehicle lately? If you look at everything, we've got to get a handle this inflation, and especially from where we're at now, you think we're gonna, if we hit another 1% a month for the next 5 months, and where does it go from there? We don't even know past 6 months. We've got to get a handle on inflation, and we do that by, one, dealing with the supply chain issues. We got to get people back to work. We've got to get people back to work at an affordable salary that pays them well, and also that we're able to operate with as well. We've got to make sure that there is not, you know, non-competitive environments, and we've got to get everybody back to work.
Mike, all I can tell you is, if you really want to know what's going on, give me a call, because if I notice the increase in grocery prices, because I am completely oblivious to it historically, something's wrong. If I notice.
I understand. My phone rings. Have you priced chicken wings lately? Or did you get them? That's the bottom line. Did you get chicken wings?
Can you find them? Mike, tell me, you know where they are. Where can I go get my chicken wings?
Well, I shop my local groceries. You know, I shop there, but that's a whole nother issue. And what's happening is that, again, because of lack of labor and processing, you know, wings are difficult to get. And now breast meat, because, you know, we've eaten a lot of the breast meat that was in cold storage. And fundamentally, you know, a big factor that's going on is that worldwide, in all food commodities, the increase in consumption is not keeping up with the increase in production, and that is driving that. And so if you look at, you know, why we're now eating chicken thighs, well, we used to export all the chicken thighs.
Yeah, we didn't eat them.
And
that's right.
So that's right. And we don't have enough people to go to work. You know, if you look at some of our poultry processing facilities, unskilled, day one, $12, $14 an hour at night shift, and you can't get anybody to go to work. So, and when you look at chicken wings, you may end up, if you want chicken wings, you may just have to go ahead and buy whole chickens, you know, take the wings and then freeze the chicken and consume that. But labor is an issue, availability, but also there's a growing competition for food products. And what's happening is that, you know, when we see these prices for beef, but in foreign markets, you know, in different countries, they say, we pay that.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, 'cause we're getting hungry.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Mike Strain, as always, you can backfill any of these topics with a whole lot of data, and we appreciate Zane, the Commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Thank you so much for joining us today, and Happy New Year to you, my friend.
And thank you for what you do, you know, shedding light on a lot of very solid issues that we need to talk about.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Give us a shout. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.